Friends, Scripture gives us words of life that lead us through the Holy Spirit to Jesus, who is our word of life. Let us listen then for that word in this lesson. Our gospel this morning comes from Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. It's how I feel too. Story is set at the time of Easter, the evening after the dawn of Easter. So it's another story that the Gospels tell us right in the wake of the revelations of Easter. That same day, Luke writes, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But their eyes were overpowered, so they could not recognize him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stopped. They stood still for a moment, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they both replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one who would set Israel free. It's just the opposite. Besides everything we just told you, the third day's passing since these things have happened. On the other hand, some women who belong to our group shocked us out of our senses. They went to the tomb early this morning but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said. They didn't see Jesus. And he said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and only then enter into his glory?" And beginning right then with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what had been said in Scripture concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were headed, Jesus continued on as if he would be going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." And he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared out of their sight. But they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And they jumped up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened to them on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. There is a tradition in Scripture that holy ground is especially recognized, especially understood as a place outside the familiar. If you look at Hebrew Scripture in particular, they really emphasize that God appears most reliably to people not when they are inside the village, inside the camp, inside within the gate. It's actually in the wilderness that you encounter God, that place where the rules are not so defined, that place where things are not maybe quite so safe. That is God's particular place. It is a place outside the familiar. Symbolically, in Hebrew Scripture 2, the place where the judge of a particular village would sit, the person who was charged with adjudicating between the various disputes of the various people who lived there, the place where the judge would sit was in the gate, in that place between the known and the unknown, in that place between structure and the understood, and that place of mystery that was outside. But God was always in the mystery. Hebrew Scripture wanted people to understand that. It was out in the wilderness that eyes got opened. Book some of you may have read would have been a while ago by the writer Carlo Levi. It's called Christ Stopped at Eboli. It was written originally in Italian. I will not insult the people of Italy. You know that book. All right, we got one. Now I got to try the Italian. Cristo è fermato a Eboli, right? Christ Stopped at Eboli talks about, it tells the story, it's an autobiographical story. It's set in the early days, not even of World War II, it's after Mussolini had taken over Italy. And Carlo Levi, who was the writer of the book, was a doctor and a prominent critic of Mussolini's and was sentenced to internal exile in Italy for 2 years. Now, for those of us who occasionally go to Italy, the idea that anywhere in Italy would be a terrible place to be exiled to is a little bit of a leap. Not so. Not so. And so Carlo Levi, who was an urbane Italian doctor and social critic and writer, had to go to a very, very remote town, and the thing you knew how remote it was because Eboli, I told you the title was Christ Stopped at Eboli. Eboli was a town that was 10 miles or thereabouts, a little bit closer to civilization. And the joke was this: the joke that this town made of itself was, we're so remote that when Jesus came, Jesus stopped at Eboli, but we all had to go on. And Levi lives in this place that's very different from the places he had known and lives among a kind of people who are very different, have very different lives than the lives even of the people who were patients back where he had come from. And he learns what it is to be a doctor there, actually, to seek to bring healing to a very different kind of conditions and under the strain of very, very rudimentary possibilities, even for a doctor there. It's not a particularly religious book, the title notwithstanding. But I think it is safe to say that Levy would argue that his eyes were opened, that the wilderness of being removed from what was familiar to him gave him much more profound and powerful insights into the nature of the world, which he thought he knew. But it turns out the world was more complicated than he realized. And it turns out that there are more stories, more things that we bring, more dignity that we show, so much more richness than even he realized. And his eyes were opened. And so even after he concludes his time when he has to be there, he stays just a little bit longer in order to see a few more patients, finish a few more cases as best he can, because this time in a place outside the familiar had taught him something about what was sacred between people, perhaps also sacred between him and God. Holy ground is a place outside the familiar. Sometimes that's the place where eyes are opened. Sometimes, though, what we find is that the holy turns out to be a presence that is inside the gates of our experience. The holy is something that comes to us inside what is familiar. I remember when I was about 8 years old, and I had the strange idea for the first time that the grown-ups did not have all the answers. And if you know my father, that's a weird thing to think, because sometimes he thinks he has all the answers. Sorry, he's watching, so hi, Dad. But it had never occurred to me that they didn't. And then what happened was, you see, one day, I was getting ready for school. I was in third grade. I had a multiplication test that day. I think it was it was not one of the easy times tables, and I was not good at my math facts, so this would have been a thing. I had a multiplication test I was getting for, and something happened that never happened in my childhood house, which is the phone rang at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was my aunt. And it turned out that my mom's mom had died. And what I saw was my parents talking, the way that you can imagine these things unfold. And, you know, you're sort of not the focus for a minute. And then I'm just sort of standing there, not sure what I should do. And I went into my room. And after a while, my father came in and he sat down and he said, "I don't know how to tell you this." And this was the first time that my father had not known how to tell me something, at least that I was aware of. And so the idea that grown-ups struggle sometimes, even the grown-ups that you love, this was news to me. In a sense, my eyes were opened. In a sense, I learned something about my parents, sure, but I also learned something about myself. which is to say that part of what it is to be human is not to have all the answers. And this wasn't something that was my problem. It's something that is just woven into the human condition. And I learned that just a little bit that day. It would be later that I would come to understand that as holy ground. So when we have this story of these two guys going to Emmaus, I've always wondered, you know, did someone send them to Emmaus for some reason, or are they beating it out of town before anyone quite realizes that they're gone? I don't know. But what we see in the story is a moment when they leave what is familiar, when they feel so out of kilter, when they feel as if all the one they thought had all the answers suddenly is gone. And their reaction is to run. And yet, holy ground chases them. And the idea that there are new answers, there are more answers, that their eyes can be opened at the very moment when the thing they want most to do in the world is probably shut their eyes and crouch and not have anything happen until it all gets more familiar again. That's not what God wants, not for them. God wants them to have their eyes opened and to recognize that who God is the God who is with them time and time and time again, place after place after place after place. What he wants, what God wants, for their eyes to be opened. And this is what God wants for us. God wants us to know that in something like the breaking of bread, there is the memory of the presence of love. God wants us to know in all the places that we go, whether they are familiar, whether they are foreign, wherever they may be, that our eyes might be opened and we might see. What it is to live in the light of Easter is to live with the possibility that wherever we go, that even in the darkest of circumstances, even in the moment when we think that Christ stopped 10 miles back, and here we are, when we think that if we just close our eyes and stay real still, that maybe the clouds will pass over, Christ is with us. God's love is with us. And that if we will but open our eyes, we will encounter him and encounter the very thing that invites us to new life. Amen.